on this episode of DL Weekly, a ton of Magic Keys information and questions answered, how it compares to the old Flex Pass, new Splash Mountain re-theme information.
Become your own PhotoPass photographer, a new sweet treat, all the details on the Genie Plus service coming this fall, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of August 25th, 2021. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tig Bushman. We'd like to send a big shout out and a thank you to Cheryl P., Ruben O., and MEP for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. The weekly tiers in our supporter Discord chat are so amazing. There is always a lively discussion about Disney happening with tips, tricks, direct access to us every day, and more. If you'd like to become a weekly tier yourself and help us get to 200 supporters, which we are getting close to,
Some
more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, our 4-year anniversary and our 200th episode are coming up, and we need your help. Give us a call at 657-345-4445 and leave us a short message about what you like about the podcast or anything else that you want to say about our 4th anniversary and 200th episode. Why do you listen? What's your favorite part? Why are you a supporter if you are? Or anything else you want to share? We will play some of the messages on the 200th episode coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Well, our friends over at Concierge have another D180 for us this week.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey at Walt Disney World, where the 50th anniversary is less than 50 days away. Disney is pulling out all the stops now, trying to get everyone excited for the impending 18 months of celebration. They released a version of the event's original theme song, The Magic is Calling. This new song is ready to join the hallowed halls of Disney's myriad songs for past shows and events. The song will be recorded in a different arrangement for each of Disney World's 4 parks. Preparations are nearly ready for the icons of each park as well. The iridescent displays... I'm not making this up. Disney even capitalizes the ear part, E-A-R, not I-R. You get it. Anyway, the iridescent displays will draw extra attention to the main icons of each park. Stick around until nightfall to witness the beacons of light emanating from Cinderella Castle, Spaceship Earth, the Tree of Life, and the Hollywood Tower Hotel. Hey, if Disney can transform a haunted hotel into a winter holiday display, I have faith in this iridescence concept. Epcot's transformation continues as well. The park's main spectacular, Harmonious, will debut during the 50th celebration too. Making of featurettes are already posting on Disney Parks blog. One of the most interesting gives us a snippet of the soundtrack. This mashup of familiar Disney tunes features contributions by 240 musicians from around the world and is sung in more than a dozen languages. We're all interested to see the final outcome of all this attention in World Showcase Lagoon. Another long-awaited attraction will open in mid-September. Space 220 is a restaurant in Epcot's Future World that's been in the works for a while now. Guests to this dining experience will ride in a space elevator to a station 220 miles above the planet. While they dine, they can watch Earth from above along with spaceships and astronauts. Enjoy a 2-course meal for lunch or a 3-course dinner along with fine wine and spacey-themed cocktails. Speaking of Epcot, have you noticed that most of the written news about the park highlights the park's original name in capital letters, when it used to be called Epcot Center? We haven't seen an all-caps Epcot since 1994. It would be a fun tribute to see Disney officially return the park's name to its original state. All right, let's depart the shores of America on Disney Cruise Line's Wish, the still-in-progress addition to the fleet. More details showed up this week about a new experience on the ship. Guests on other Disney Cruise Line ships love the interactive scavenger hunts that are available. The Wish will launch with Disney Uncharted Adventure, a new experience driven by augmented reality through the Play Disney Parks app on your own devices. Join Moana, Tiana, Peter Pan, Nemo, and a secret Disney villain as you explore the ship. Find artwork, signs, and props that come to life through your enchanted spyglass. Play on your own terms, taking missions when you feel like it. You can play alone, in pairs, or with as many as 6 family and friends. No matter how far you get into this interactive game, you can always view the finale before you depart the ship. This is a great way to see a new twist on an old favorite experience. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over and visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official planners, Consi Ears. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for all of that information.
Now let's get to the news.
For those weekly tiers who haven't already purchased their Magic Keys to Disneyland, the Disney Parks blog has posted a Frequently Asked Questions post to help answer common questions that folks have been wondering. Some of the most important takeaways relate to where and when to buy the keys.
So, biggest thing here is they really, really, really are pushing and really, really strongly communicating that they do not, that you, they want you to purchase this online and not to come to the park and wait in line at a ticket booth. So that's like the biggest takeaway for me, which seemed kind of weird at first, but then it made sense. Because think about how many people probably are wanting to become a Magic Key holder if they were a pass holder, you know, become a key holder, whatever. And that could be a lot of people. Yep. A lot of people.
Well, just
lining
think
up
about
the booths.
How many people must be hitting the website for things like Oogie Boogie Bash or Touch of Disney or any of those things where you get that nice Big Thunder Mountain graphic that has triggered everybody just thinking about it.
I mean, I get it. If I live close, that's how I would want to go get my new key, is to go to the park to get it. One thing to mention too, if you are you, so how do I want to say this? If you do get it in person at some point in time, don't do it on the 25th on the day of, because they're trying to not have chaos in downtown Disney and on the Esplanade. But they are saying, so if your pass includes a parking discount or includes parking, so if you do one of those top two level passes, I have seen reports saying that when you park in the ramp, it's $25, right? You walk down, you go to the ticket booth, you get your pass, you still pay for parking that day. So that's another, if you're getting parking with your pass, it is smarter to get it ahead of time online, so then you can use that parking benefit right away.
Yeah, plus you don't have to wait that line. You can just wait. You know, in our Discord chat, we've had a lot of people talk about how some folks are going to try to get it first thing. When we record this, it's the night before they go on sale. By the time this is edited and out, they will have already gone on sale.
Yeah.
So there are people who already have their Magic Key passes at this point. But I would recommend, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the day we post it, just wait, because I feel like Oogie Boogie Bash tickets, we went in like later that night or the next morning, and it was like no wait at all, and there was still stuff available.
You know, it, same thing. So we've had this now twice this year. Touch of Disney, we waited in the crazy long line, got our tickets for Touch of Disney. I looked the next day. The dates that we wanted were still available the next day. So I was like, well, okay. Same thing happened with Oogie Boogie. In fact, our Oogie Boogie date hung out there and was available for weeks later after we had gotten it. So again, we've decided for us that we're going to we are getting the keys. We've decided on the Enchant level key. It just makes the most sense for us. Yes, it does have more blackouts. Yes, it only has 4 reservations at a time. However, with the times of year that we typically travel and the next couple of trips that we already have planned, all of those dates are open and available for reservation. So it just made the most sense for us. But we're going to be patient. We're not going to be in the line tomorrow. But we are excited for everyone that
I feel like
is getting their passes back. It's very exciting.
Like, there are some people in our supporter chat who are very adamant that they really want to get their passes right away. They've waited a long time. It's something that they were accustomed to before they weren't anymore.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that. But I also kind of think there's some Stockholm Syndrome thing going on here, because it's like, I want to make myself in pain to get this ticket because I want to get it. I don't know. I guess for me, I would rather not have the stress and have an enjoyable Magic Key, first Magic Key experience, rather than, do you know how much blood, sweat, and tears I put into waiting in line for this?
It just makes
pass
it that more amazing, right?
I suppose.
The other big thing, too, that I'm curious to see, this sounds really bad, but I'm kind of excited to, like, let other people figure some of these things out for me, because I still have some questions that are Disney's trying to answer, but still kind of unclear. The biggest question for us is we both have multi-day tickets that are already linked to our accounts, but all of the information that Disney has put out thus far just says, doesn't say anything about unused tickets per se. It says, it like everything says you can upgrade a partially used ticket. I assume as long as you have a ticket linked to your account, it doesn't matter if you've used it or haven't used any of it yet, that you should be able to upgrade through the app. But nowhere does it clearly say that I've seen. So that's kind of a something that's kind of up in the air for us, because that's what we're going to be doing. So I'm okay to kind of let other people test the waters to figure out the best way to do this. And then we can have a smooth sailing. We need at least one good major Disney like hullabaloo purchase thing.
Sure.
Be stress-free this year. And the magic keys are going
to
be it.
I certainly hope so. If you want to see all the rest of the questions and stuff that Disney answered, visit the link in our show notes at dlweekly.net.
Well, the day we post this episode again is the big day that the program launches for the new Magic Keys at the resort. Magic Key holders will have an exclusive lounge in both parks for a limited time. I'm pretty darn excited about this. The Magic Key Terrace in Disney California Adventure will be a permanent location for key holders to relax with friends and family, overlooking Route 66 and Avengers Campus. The more limited time location in Disneyland is at the old Starcade location, which will offer charging for cell phones, photo ops, and other perks. The location in Disneyland will be open September 1st through October 31st.
This is interesting. So I thought that maybe they would put a location in both parks for whatever reason, you know, because then it allows more people to be utilizing these things at the same time. Obviously, the one that's going to be at the Magic Key Terrace, they already had used for the old annual pass holder program. It was part of the terrace there for a little bit of time. But this one in Disneyland is totally different, because the only time they've had anything that I remember is they had something up on the top of the Star Trader kind of building there for a little while, which then I think they converted to like a fireworks dessert party thing. So it's interesting that Disneyland will have this limited location for September 1st through October 31st. What do you think about that? Why do you think that they are only doing it for such a short time?
I feel like it's temporary. Maybe there's something that they're going to, maybe the like whole thing is that they're going to shift the spot, so it's not always going to be the same location that's specific to key holders. And it might be something too that it's not every time you go it's available, and kind of make it a little bit more special that way.
So which one are you excited for?
The DCA one, 100% the DCA one. So I'm really excited about the Magic Key Terrace. It was formerly the Alfresco Tasting Terrace that was exclusive before to annual pass holders, but I never had a chance to go up there. Mm-mm. And during our July trip, they had the legacy pass holders area, I think, in that same area, and that was reservations only, and we were never able to get up there. So it just looks very nice and relaxing and beautiful up there. It's just a different area of the park that I haven't seen, so that's always fun and exciting for me.
Yeah, I hope, I mean, obviously we'll make some time when we're there at the end of September to go check this out, because we will be key holders.
The interesting thing, mind you, it was the Orange County Register that we got this information from, so they don't, it's, you know, not Disney, so they don't have all of the details laid out yet, but we were talking about this, and I was like, I'm not getting my hopes up, that sounds amazing, I'm going to not get my hopes up, because reservations for this place are going to be insane. Well, nowhere does it say that you need reservations for this DCA key holders area, which is interesting. So I'm wondering if news that you will need reservations, if that's coming, or if somehow it's just going to be a walk up. Hey, is there space? Yes, there is. Great. Come in. No, there's not. Come back later. Or how exactly this is going to work.
We'll know the day that this posts, because the Magic Key program goes on sale, and this Magic Key Terrace is opening on the first day of having it. So we'll know pretty soon.
So Disney has posted on their website, of course, link will be in the show notes, it's a little bit more information about this. So it will be walk-up only for now.
To get access to this, Magic Key holders and their guests, you can have a total of 6 guests per party. One Magic Key holder must show their Magic Key pass in the app and then one magic healer must remain present for the entire experience. And then you can go. It's a walk-up list. You can get on the wait list on the app.
It's walk-up now, but reservations will be starting on September 2nd. So September 2nd is when reservations are going to be in place. So if this is something on your must-do list, like it is on ours, make sure that you check and grab a reservations for this really cool experience. I'm very excited. There's a couple of things. We just looked at the menu very quickly. They still have the Heimlich choo-choo juice, which, for whatever reason, I'm very excited about this one. I really want to try it. Sounds
well,
good to
me. Well, it's Heimlich, so of course I want to try it. I love Heimlich. We have compared the new Magic Key Enchant level pass to the previous Flex Pass from 2019 many times. This week, the Orange County Register wrote an entire article comparing the two passes along with the other passes in the new Enchant Magic Key program. The biggest differences are the lack of good-to-go days that the Flex Pass had, where Flex holders didn't have to make a reservation at all, with the new Enchant level always requiring a reservation. Additionally, the Flex Pass had 350 days where guests could use the ticket compared to the 216 days of the Enchant Key. Enchant Key holders can make twice as many reservations than the old Flex Pass as a plus.
Yeah, and the other plus on that too is with the Flex Pass, I believe we only could make reservations 30 days in advance. With the new Key Passes, with the Enchant level specifically, you can make your reservation, I believe it's 90 days out in advance. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting too. So, you know, it makes sense. It sounds crazy and it sounds terrible that there were 350 days available with the old Flex Pass, and now with the Enchant Pass there's only 216 days. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, a lot of that's just because, right, we're reservation based now, whereas with FlexPass, the FlexPass was the only thing that required a reservation, and that was only on some days. So it'll be interesting. It's gonna be a change, obviously, for a lot of us, especially locals who are used to just being able to pop over when they wanted to. Gonna have to just do that extra step to get that reservation now. My prediction, like all things Disney that's new, it's going to be crazy in the beginning, and then soon it'll level out.
Yeah.
And it'll kind of like dwindle back down to normal, whatever that's going to look like with these reservations. Personally, I'm not too nervous or worried about being able to get reservations. Maybe some of the crazier, busier times at the park, like the holidays, Halloween time, spring break times, that may be a little bit more difficult. But overall, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. There was a time with the Flex Pass that you were a little nervous, but then it never ended up being a problem when you did have it.
My problem with the Flex Pass was I had a Flex Pass and everyone else had regular park tickets. So my concern was, well, what if I don't get the a reservation and everyone else can go in the park? And here's Teresa just like, well, okay, I guess I'll just hang out over here in downtown Disney.
We'd get you a ticket.
Yeah,
Teresa.
That was my fear. And then when you were going to get the Flex Pass, I'm like, well, at least I'm not going to hang out by myself if that ever happens.
Do you know what I think Disney should really do? And this is totally unrelated to the article we were just talking about. But I think what Disney should do is they should offer like blockout day tickets at a reduced price for annual pass holders. So like if you want to go during that time, you could get a cheaper ticket because they're still making money. It still discourages the average person.
That would be.
But if it's really important to you, you can go.
They do have those. You know what they're called? Day passes.
That's why I said discounted. Discounted. Your most loyal fans, you should give a discount to.
Fans wanting to know more about what the re-theme of Splash Mountain will entail should check out the video released this week on the Disney Parks blog. As part of Disney's World Princess Week, they got together some of the creative minds behind the upcoming changes and made a 30-minute short talking all about it. Still no word on when Splash Mountain will be transformed, but this video is a must for those wondering what is next in the attraction. And I'm going to be real honest. I read the article, but I did not have a chance to watch the full 30 minutes yet, but I am very eager, very, very eager, because the little snippets I saw in the article of like the condensed version of the questions and everything was just getting me so excited.
I started watching the video. I got through two of their introductions of like who they were and had to pause it to go off to do something else, and I never got back to it.
Oh no.
And I never read the article. So I don't really know anything, but I keep seeing
I keep seeing
that people are very excited about this. Yeah. And it felt, from what I could tell from the limited amount I watched, if any of you have ever watched the Disney Gallery shorts or whatever on Disney Plus, it kind of felt that way. It was like a round table of them like talking about things and just having kind of a relaxed conversation and talking about the development process. So exciting. I still am with you. We talked about this in our Discord chat.
Well, and I think we talked about this when they were first, first announced
that,
this too.
That it's supposed to take place after the movie, but then you don't get Dr. Facilier and you don't get Ray.
I love Ray so much.
Which one of our supporters in the chat's name is Ray, and he's like, as a Ray,
I will sign this petition.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, right, like you said, this is the story after the movie, basically. And it's Princess Tiana and some of her friends, including Prince Naveen. We do get Louis, the alligator, and I really like Louis, but they are putting together a Mardi Gras celebration as kind of the general idea of what the attraction's going to entail. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting because it seemed to me like the Shadow Man, Dr. Facilier, would have been something to see in a dark ride.
Oh, yeah.
And Ray, I mean, even though Ray is no longer part of the story because... Yeah, he's no longer... I'm not going to spoil if you haven't watched the movie, I guess. But yeah, even though Ray's no longer part of the story and won't be in this new attraction, all of his family and friends could be. So we could have all of the Fireflies. So, but Ray was the best, as we
see,
all know.
I thought the Shadow Man dealt with like magic and getting people from the other side and stuff. So I thought maybe he would come back from the other side for something. That would be how you could like work him out.
I don't know how you would explain... You'd have to somehow explain that in the queue before you got on the attraction. Or
maybe that could be part of the storyline in the background.
Maybe it's part of the storyline in the first part of the storyline in the attraction.
Maybe it'll be like Little Mermaid, and it'll just be like in the background, you don't notice it, then suddenly he's there, and you're like, how did this even happen?
Like Ursula
at the end, yeah.
I'm still very excited about this, but one of the cool things that I did notice in the interview was basically how much they're paying attention to New Orleans culture, because they really want to make this ride feel like very authentic and very, very much New Orleans. They want, you know, the Mardi Gras stuff to be Mardi Gras and all that stuff. So I think that's really cool that they're taking all the time to do all this extra research. For those of you that haven't seen the movie, and for those of you that have, you know what I'm talking about. This movie is really cool to watch. I visited New Orleans a couple of times, and I was able to visit New Orleans prior to seeing the movie when it had first come out, which feels like ages ago. But I just remember watching the opening scenes and looking at like the backgrounds of different scenes and the buildings and all that stuff in it. Like, it looked like, I'm like, I feel like I walked down that street. I feel like I mean, that church there, I saw that church and that beignet stand, you know, that all that kind of stuff. It was really, really cool, the level of detail that they did for the animated film. So I'm excited to see how that's going to play out into the attraction.
Yeah, it should be really cool. I still stand by, and we've talked about this before, that this is happening both at Disneyland and Disney World. And I think it definitely fits in Disneyland because it's between Critter Country and New Orleans Square, where it's basically in Frontierland in Disney World. So it doesn't, for me, it doesn't fit as seamlessly. So I think Disneyland is really going to have the premiere version of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see if they do the exteriors exactly the same for both parks, or if they're going to do something a little bit different, maybe in Walt Disney World, to tie it into the rest of the area a little differently.
We'll have to wait and see. Since Disneyland reopened at the end of April, guest relations had been stationed outside of City Hall in the tour gardens. This week, they were able to relocate back into City Hall. Also, one of my favorite things has returned on Main Street, the Market Street Fruit Cart. Oh my god, I love this thing. The cart is located outside the main doors of the Market House and in front of the Main Street Locker area. The location sells a variety of fruit and some beverages, and was my like go-to place to get breakfast piece of watermelon. And I was so sad when we went through this last time, because I was like, it's not there.
It was weird that the cart entirely had been removed.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of other places had, I'm thinking about like DCA, some of that fruit stand looking thing there. It was open when we were there, but I had seen photos, and even during Touch of Disney, they kind of just had like props. So it was just kind of, I don't know, part of the feel of the area, not an actual working fruit stand. But I was kind of surprised that they removed it completely, because that fruit stand is pretty substantial. It's not like one of the carts that they just kind of like wheel in and out. It's pretty.
I'm just so happy it's coming back, and I hope they have watermelon slices, because when we were there, I could not find a watermelon slice almost anywhere.
Watermelon is kind of hard to find in the resort sometimes.
I used to get it all the time. I just don't understand. Well, now
pineapple spears.
I think pineapple spears have become like the new hotness, so I think that they kind of prioritize that. I'll try a pineapple spear, but I love watermelon. And a pickle.
Pickles are great, too. A lot of guests love the Disney PhotoPass service, but sometimes there isn't a PhotoPass photographer around when you want the perfect photo. Andres, a Disneyland Resort photo specialist from Plan Disney, shared some of his tips on getting the perfect photos when at the resort. His key points are to get creative, find new locations, be patient, and use what you have. To get all the tips and details on how to make the most of your photos, check out the link in our show notes at dlweekly.net.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, some really awesome things going on here. He's taken some beautiful pictures of the parks. And I agree. In fact, one of the best tips I ever got was from a PhotoPass photographer telling me where to take a picture of Sleeping Beauty Castle, because all of the, like, wedding photos and the promo photos they always take are from this, like, one little section, which I never had thought about. But once he showed it to me, I was like, oh, yes, of course. This is the angle that the castle is always viewed from in these pictures. But it's really kind of fun, and I think just his, even if you don't go into the in-depth, I think that his, like, basic bullet points really are for any photography about getting creative, finding the locations, patience, especially at Disneyland, right? Waiting for people to just get out of the way.
Yes.
So you can get a good, unobstructed picture, which also happens at the end of the night, because people leave and you get a lot more, less stuff. Of course, patience, which we talked about. And having fun, and that I feel like is the most important, because you shouldn't stress out about doing something you want to enjoy or look back on with fond memories. How about you? You take a lot of photos in the park. Do you do some of these things?
It is interesting. I do like to take, it's crazy that I take so many photos when we're there, because it's not like I'm never going to be there again, but I just find so much like joy and beauty in different areas of the park that it's just really fun to take pictures and try and like capture that. One of my favorite photos from the parks this last trip was actually that I took on our last day when we were leaving the Matterhorn and the teacups. I love the love how the teacups look at night. And
oh yeah,
we were basically the only people in Fantasyland, so we were able to kind of stop and take our time and snap some photos of the teacups all lit up at night. And yeah, it was just fun.
Yeah, I agree.
I also like, I know a zillion, so many people take photos of Disneyland, but what Andres is saying here with trying to get creative and doing, you know, kind of thinking outside the box, like you said, basic example, the castle. Everybody has a picture of the front of the castle straight on, but it's so much more than that. There's so many more details. So go, you know, walk around things, take photos from different angles. Mm-hmm. Same thing I feel like with the partner statue. There's, you know, everyone's got the partner statue with the castle kind of just set behind it. You know, maybe figure out some other different angle or some other way that you could do that same type of shot, but just differently.
Yeah, yeah. All that creativity and artistry and stuff. And also just getting, like, your party members, like, you know, instead of just doing, you know, like the PhotoPass photographers are amazing at this.
Oh, yeah.
Of getting you to, like, well, look happy or make a funny face or, you know, a lot of times, you know, for me, especially, when they get me to be a little goofy, because sometimes it's hard for me to just naturally want to be goofy in a photo or to smile a certain way or something. So being able to kind of look at it in a different way sometimes will make a way better picture in the end. Oh, my God, Teresa. I about had a heart attack today when this next story came up. Disney has released 3 new characters coming to the Oogie Boogie Bash this year.
Teased. They've teased.
In a short video released online, they teased a spider toy crawling along to tease Sid from Toy Story, a dress on a mannequin to tease Cruella from, of course,
that's
the movie Cruella.
That's going to be amazing.
And I almost died. A maniacal laugh panning back to a director's chair to tease Agatha Harkness from WandaVision.
So now, question for you. Agatha has 2 forms, I guess I'll say. Do you think we're going to get Agatha from the final episode?
Care.
Or do you think we're going to get Agatha as the nosy next door neighbor?
Probably the final. Because I think that's going to be her like future iteration.
The other thing I'm wondering about this too, they haven't said anything about this, but we do know that there's going to be interactive treat trails. Do you think these 3 characters will be part of the interactive treat trails, or they're just going to be characters out and about for meet and greets.
I don't care. I just want to see them. I don't know. I don't know. I hope interactive, because I think the interactive ones are cooler.
I'm hoping for interactive, too. I think that'd be really, really, really fun.
Are you most excited for?
Cruella and Agatha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sid, never comes up on my radar as, ooh.
I never liked Sid. He's just a mean little kid. He's just mean. So, he's...
Did you see the whole thing online that was talking about how he's actually not a villain, that he's just misunderstood?
Oh, and, yeah. Yes. But, So there's a lot of villains that I really like, but Sid is not one of those villains. I just thought he was this, he just ruined the toys and those poor toys, you know.
For me, Cruella, I feel like, I know it's a different Cruella, but I feel like we've had Cruella in the parks already because we had, the one from the animated feature.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm okay, it's a different, I know it's different, but Agatha, I can't tell you how many times I watched the reveal of that in WandaVision and that dang song that got stuck. I hope that wherever she is, that song is playing because
I kind of hope not, because it's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the night.
I told you.
The rest of the trip. But
it's a good song.
I think Cruella will be fun because I think guest interactions with Cruella will be really, really fun.
Oh, sure. Cruella, I've seen in the parks, and she has pre-COVID times, she would torment children. It was amazing. Mm-hmm, it was ew, you're dirty, get away from me kind of things. It was what the heck? But I am so excited for this. I'm even more happy now that we are going to the Oogie Boogie Bash this year because remember I said I was going to stay in the Villains Grove? Now I have to leave to go see Agatha.
Well, you should be happy that we got our tickets when we did, because tickets have officially now sold out for the Oogie Boogie Bash.
It was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is official. They have sold out now. And speaking of which, Halloween is starting to move in around the resort this week. Frontierland already has a lot of Halloween and fall decorations installed. And over at the Haunted Mansion, Jack and his gang are wrecking the halls. The other big move in for the week was Oogie Boogie came in, and he's now up on top of the entrance to California Adventure. However, it is a different version of Oogie Boogie than
we had
before. I
was wondering, because I was looking and I was like, he didn't have green on him before.
No, and he was...
But nobody mentioned it, and I thought I was going crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. That's a different Oogie Boogie. He was larger before, and I feel like the bats were kind of bigger, too. But I wasn't sure what I thought about it, because the first photos I saw did not have the green kind of... accenting him. I don't even know how to describe it, really. You'll have to show pictures. We'll have a link in our show notes. But I like it with the green. It really pops nicely with the green. He looks like this eerie shadow. He was a shadow before, but now he's even more eerie.
Okay, so here's last times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a silhouette, and he had stuff growing out of him, and they had the supports.
Viney stuff.
The supports were really... prominent, and this year look as prominent.
He doesn't have all the stuff around him. The bats are smaller on the support things.
Yeah.
On the wings, or whatever you want to call it.
A new set of ears have arrived in time for the Halloween celebration at the resort. The new set is another balloon set, which features Mickey trick-or-treating on the clear balloon section with an orange Mickey balloon design on the inside. The band is black and orange with Boo embroidered on the side to complete the look. The balloon also lights up. The ears cost $29.99 and can be found around Disneyland.
They do look cute. I'm surprised that they're $29.99, because that's kind of the standard price for ears now. And so with these being light up, I would have thought that they would have sold them a little bit more. But I think they're fun. I think they're cute. Is it something that I'm going to buy? I don't know. I just have this. I'm nervous about the plastic headband and just feel like they might not be very comfortable for very long. But they probably look great at night.
Yeah, with the electronics and stuff, I feel like they'd be heavier, too.
Well, the balloons are.
Yeah.
I mean, the balloons are pretty large, too. Well, there aren't many Mickey ears that are for Star Wars fans, but Disney has released a pair that are, almost perfect, because they're unisex. The new set features the Galactic Republic logo on one ear and the Rebellion logo on the other. On one side of the headband, it reads, "A long time ago, with a galaxy far, far away," on the other. The material is a faux leather, and they are also $29.99.
Now, am I crazy? over the last few years, prices for the ears have gone up, right? Didn't they used to be like 24, then they were 27, and then now they're 29?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
I just thought I was going crazy again, because...
No, and I feel like I remember a time when they were in the 20s, but yeah, they've, you know, 20. So yeah, they've just been slowly creeping up. $29.99, though, is the most recent. So we did just have a Darth Vader set of ears that was released not too awful long ago, but that did have a bow thing in the middle. So I really enjoy that they're doing more of these unisex ears.
Yeah.
Just because then, if you're a guy and don't want a bow, or don't want the whole big hat thing, or even if you're a girl and don't want a bow, there weren't any options before for headbands. You had to get the ear hat. So I like that there's more options out there.
I asked producer James what he thought of these, because he's a big Star Wars fan. I said, would you get these? And he said he liked the idea of them, but would be worried about the headband aspect of it. And I don't know if it was either being comfortable, or he'd be worried about it sliding off his head, or what. But he was just saying that he likes the concept a lot, but he doesn't know if, like, he would get them.
He's not sure. He's a headband person.
Which you've even said sometimes, like, some depending on the headband, they can be comfortable or uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Well, Maleficent, I saw this and I was also
this
very
looks
excited.
Great.
I told so James, great. I said, I've never wanted a spirit jersey, but I really kind of liked the idea of this one. Anyway.
You want to know what's hilarious? As soon as I saw it, I'm like, this is going to be the first spirit jersey Tag's going to want.
but I'm not going to buy it, and it'll become clear here in a second. Maleficent fans should be very excited for the new spirit jersey that's now available at Elias & Company in Disney California Adventure. The jersey features yellow and green flames on the bottom, with Maleficent in dragon form as a silhouette on a purple jersey, with Disneyland Resort in the same colors as the fire. The front has the Disneyland D with established 1955 below it and Maleficent breathing fire behind it. The jersey can be yours for $74.99. That is my sticking point. Because didn't they used to also be like $60?
I don't know. I feel like the spirit jerseys have been about that, because that was my whole thing with spirit jerseys. Is I'm like, gosh, that just seems pricey for me.
This spirit jersey looks so cool,
though.
The
one thing I'm not a fan of is that Disneyland is, like, extra big on the back. And so the D's are... The Disneyland D is on one arm, and the lowercase land D is on the other. Usually Disneyland is just across the back.
Sure.
So they've kind of expanded it a little bit further out. But I do like the fire. I do like the kind of, like, transition and ombre that the colors have in the fire and on Disneyland, with it being like yellowy orange into a green. I think that's really cool. Dragon silhouette is great on the... there's not much I don't like about this. The colors are great.
I love purple, and I love Maleficent, and I love the dragon, and I love the Disneyland like logo font. This has like everything I want in it except for $75, and I'll tell you right now, I would never wear this. I'd like hang it on a wall or something, but I would never wear it.
Yeah.
But just because jerseys are my thing, but I'll bet you there are some Maleficent fans that also like spirit jerseys that will be all about this.
Oh, 100%. This gives me a lot of like Fantasmic vibes.
It does, yes. Now they just need to make a Fantasmic spirit jersey.
There you go. One thing at a time. We got to get Fantasmic back.
That's
true.
And
then we'll get a spirit jersey.
I will gladly sacrifice a Fantasmic spirit jersey to get Fantasmic back.
Fire up your Disney Plus account. 5 new episodes of Behind the Attraction have landed on the streaming platform. Topics this time around include the castles, the Disneyland Hotel, It's a Small World, Trains, Trams, and Monorails, and the Hall of Presidents. All of the new episodes have dropped, so no need to wait weeks to catch all of these episodes.
So we did talk about this on our live stream this last weekend, and... but I think we should rehash just a little bit for this. Is for me, I think the one I'm most excited for is the castles.
I'm most excited for the Disneyland Hotel, and that's because it's not something that I ever got to. I don't know very much about it, and I never have stayed there. My first experience even being on the grounds was for D23 in 2019. I honestly thought you had to be a guest to like even go in the area. So yeah, it's really fascinating. I feel like there's a lot of history there, a lot of cool history. So I'm really excited about learning more about the Disneyland Hotel.
I'm hopeful that I will go into the Hall of Presidents episode with low expectations, and then it will somehow end up being really awesome.
The Hall of Presidents is not one of my favorite attractions personally, but I could see how this episode would be really interesting, talking about, you know, just the all of the animatronics that are present, and just the fact that all of these animatronics are life likenesses of people, real people. So that's kind of the other interesting thing, and what, you know, what goes behind creating those presidents.
Now, I think they will do with Hall of Presidents, the Hall of Presidents episode, like they did with the Star Tours episode. My guess is they start with Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, which will be really interesting to Disneyland people. Yep. And then they'll be like, well, the next iteration was all of the presidents. So I'm excited. Obviously, all of these episodes I will watch and will be very excited about. My problem will be finding time, because we have exchange students arriving this week, and I don't know if I want to jump them into, let's all watch Behind the Attraction together, considering that they've never been to a Disney park before.
You could just watch it by yourself, you know, on your own, too.
That's true, but I have, like, other things that I have to get done.
The other episode that I'm really, really excited about, though, that I want to mention quickly is the Small World episode. Because the more and more I learn about Small World, the more, like, fascinated I am with it, and the more I appreciate it, so... all about learning more about Small
Did you
World.
See Philander on Instagram today posted a thing about how, because he was doing an Imagineering Tuesday thing. Maybe it was yesterday he posted it. But he posted this picture of Harriet Burns and two other people, like, working on the Tiki Birds. And he's like, this is just such an amazing photo, because it's like these three awesome women working on these
Harriet
things.
Harriet Burns, Alice Davis, and Leota Toombs, I believe.
There you go. And he's like, it's just such an amazing photo for these legends working on these things together. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I also got to say, the style that people had back in the 50s and 60s was impeccable. Like, these ladies went to work like they were going to, like, a Broadway show or something. Mm-hmm. Like, they were dressed up. I can't even imagine the amount of work that went into it. Yep. Now, I know that, like, times have changed and that's all great. But, man, they looked amazing. We have been talking, speaking of Imagineers, we've been talking about all the cool innovations that Imagineering has been working on over the last few years, and this week they showed off even more innovations on their TikTok. Imagineering's Project Expo is developing exoskeletons which cast members can utilize to interact with guests with larger characters than in the past. Some of the characters that could use this technology include the Hulk, Thanos, Sully from Monsters, Inc., and maybe even a walk-around Harold from the Matterhorn. Hopefully, we will see these in the park sooner than later. The reason I said the Harold one is because one of the, like, legs of one of the exoskeletons was white and furry, and the first thing I thought of was, like, some type of abominable snowman, and I was like, Harold.
Yep. This video is so fun. I actually watched it a couple of times, because these cast members looked like they were having so much fun in these suits with these, like, larger than life limbs and hands, and it just looked really fun. It'd be very interesting for me, I'm really interested to see how these, like, what they do with these, and how often will they be out in the parks for everyone to enjoy. Will they be maybe part of parades and not really, like, a meet and greet thing, or, you know, what's this gonna look like? I'm very, very excited.
Well, have you seen at Universal Studios they have the, like, Transformers characters that are really large? This, I think, will just be a more humanized version of, like, a large thing like that. Josh D'Amaro is in one of these he's operating this giant hand. And that's what it made me think of Thanos, because it looks like a Thanos hand, because Thanos is huge. So wouldn't it be so cool to see these characters, like, in their actual size, like, that'd be so cool. And the fact that they could move realistically and stuff.
And it looked like he made it look really easy. Maybe it wasn't, but the cast members were bouncing around in these exoskeletons looking like they were having a ton of fun. So it doesn't look like, hopefully it wouldn't be too cumbersome from the person. Yeah. Portraying the characters, but it looks like a lot of fun.
How long do you think until we see something like this in the parks?
Because
it was how long was it between Stunttronic and Avengers Campus?
I'm gonna say
a couple years.
This seems like, how do I want to say this? This seems a little bit like it's more fully done. Like, they just have to do the costuming for these characters more so. So I think it could be within the next year.
Wow. I hope so. I hope
you're right. Depending on how everything goes, it might be within the next year.
I hope so.
Cast members who are part of a union at the Disneyland Resort will have to be vaccinated for COVID-19 unless they apply for an accommodation through a negotiated process. No date has been set to satisfy this requirement, but cast members who do not get vaccinated and who are not granted an accommodation will be separated from the company with a yes rehire status. Disney will be hosting on-site vaccination clinics over the next several weeks. As of July 30th, salaried and non-union cast members had 60 days to become vaccinated if they weren't already.
Yes. So because of the fact that Monday of this week, the Pfizer vaccine has been FDA approved for like general use now, so it's not an emergency use authorization. And I think within a few months, I think Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are kind of also going through the process right now. This kind of opened the door to allow corporations and companies and employers like Disney to actually require vaccination. And this is great because they negotiated and worked with the union. Yes, so it's not like they're just doing it. Well, and they all came to this agreement.
So with there being a union, they couldn't just require it. They had to work with the union. However, it did seem like this must have been a pretty easy conversation to have with the union. It didn't seem like there was a lot of back and forth, because I remember other things that they were kind of going back and forth on. I'm talking pre-COVID that they were talking about with the unions. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Pay.
But I remember it being, pay, hours, you know, that sort of stuff. And it just being this constant back and forth and back and forth. So the fact that this was presented and they were able to work through this together quickly is also a really great achievement.
Walt Disney World is kicking off the world's most magical celebration for its 50th anniversary starting on October 1st. Four of the merchandise collections will be available on Shop Disney that same day. The Celebrations collection features favorite characters on items including Mickey ears, Dooney and Burke accessories, apparel, plush, and more. The Castle collection is inspired by Cinderella Castle and will feature spirit jerseys, mini ears, and button-down shirts. The Vault collection offers a reproduction of items from the Walt Disney Archives. Finally, the Iridescent collection features the color scheme from the 50th anniversary on all kinds of items.
So I know that this is Walt Disney World, and right, this is a Disneyland podcast, but I thought that this was really cool and really exciting. Correct me if I'm wrong, do not remember them releasing anniversary merch quite like this to like online platforms before, because I always thought of anniversary merch being extra special because you had to be there to get it. So part of me, the merch lover in me, is very excited about this, that this is available to more people. But then the like Disney weirdo in me that liked the fact of I have this special pin for this specific date because that's the date I was there, not because I bought it from somewhere else, you know, that thing. Like, so I have mixed feelings, but overall I am excited about this. There is definitely a set of ears that I have my eye on in this in one of these collections that I will probably be purchasing, which is great because, like I said, I do have the option to get it without having to go all the way down to Florida now. So that's pretty, that is a plus.
I am most excited by the Vault collection because this is stuff from the archives. I think we've already kind of seen a hint of something like this because they had the Mickey plush
that came out through Amazon.
Yeah. But I think it'll be stuff kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And also the
what's that called? The Amazon. It's not just Amazon's, like the Amazon truck, the Amazon something. Some sort of special Amazon thing.
It was like a special deal, like only available for the day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The iridescent stuff looks really cool. And of course, I think like the Celebration collection, I like some of their things. There's some stuff I want to get. Obviously, I'm not going to probably be at Disney World. We do have some weekly tiers going.
Yeah.
So I might have to somehow scrounge up some money to have them pick some stuff up for me, because there's a couple of those shirts that look amazing. And actually,
but they're available online. You don't have to have someone go purchase it for you.
It depends on the ones I was thinking of are online or not, because I don't know if they're part of that collection. There is a shirt that I think I have already missed out on that I'm sad about. They had their fireworks show, and Evan, actually, on his Instagram was wearing this shirt. Mm. And I really wanted one, but I think it's like gone already, so I'm very sad. But anyway, we can move on.
For guests that want a fun way to hold their sundae over at Disney California Adventure, there is a new Together Again Mickey Ear Hat Bowl with sundae. The sundae comes with a choice of what type of sundae, and the options include the Oswald, mint chocolate chip, chocolate chip cookie hot fudge, strawberry, or mocha almond fudge, and is served in a Mickey Mouse ear hat bowl. The bowl is similar to the one at Award Wieners that was there previously. I want to say that that was there even during Touch of Disney. The big difference, though, is it's got that lovely Disneyland D on this new version of the ear hat bowl. The sundae isn't served directly in the bowl, but in a cup that is placed in the bowl. You can grab yours for $13.99 at Clarabella's.
That is a good price for all. I think this and the thing from the Tropical Hideaway, you get a souvenir thing and the food, and it's actually reasonably priced. I would have thought that the sundae would have been $14 by itself.
Well, you know, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It looks very, very good. Very good. We might have to get one of these. I don't know if I necessarily need the ear hat, but the sundae is just...
I'll take the ear hat. Are you going to get the mocha one? I feel like the mocha one
the
would be right up
here. The mocha one sounded good. Really? I don't know what the Oswald is, but the mint chocolate chip would be something I'd be interested in, and the mocha almond fudge one also would be one. But I want to see what the other... Like, chocolate chip cookie hot fudge sounds great, but I would have to share that. That sounds really, really sweet to me.
Yeah.
Strawberry is always a good classic, too, but I'm really interested in what the Oswald is.
Yeah, me too.
Psst! Avast there! It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. Here come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where tonight we're going to go into more of my observations from the last time that we were in the park together. Are you ready for it?
Yeah? Ooh, maybe.
Teresa's looking confident.
I'm just going with it. I'm just going to lean into it because
All right.
We'll see how this goes.
Your first question from my observations from the last time we were in the park. While standing in the queue for Jungle Cruise, you can hear a radio station playing 1940s jazz tunes. What are the call letters of the radio station?
I don't know why, but this popped in my head. It's probably wrong. KBBL. No idea why that.
What does that stand for?
No idea.
I feel like it's got to stand for something. This
sure
is the
does.
This isn't.
I have no idea what this is.
This isn't like we get multiple clues, right? This is just that.
Nope,
is the question.
This is just no. This isn't what queue are you in? This
okay.
is just regular old questions.
So I will say.
Do you want a what queue are you in this night?
I mean, you're the trivia master. It's up to you.
Okay.
I will say.
Do the listeners want a what queue are you in?
KJUN, like jungle. That's what I will say.
KJUN?
Yep, like jungle.
That just rolls right off the tongue.
Okay. KJUN. Playing
so
you
we've
the
got
hot 40s hits.
KBBO and KJUN. Are those your final answers? Are those your final answers?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not right, but it's an answer.
All right. Well, since we're in the queue for Jungle Cruise, we're looking at some paintings on the wall, and they're contributed by a new character in the Jungle Cruise. What is this character's name?
Oh, I don't know, but she's part of the Lost Party. I know that much, but I don't remember her name.
Alice paints a lot. That's what I'm going to say. I told you, this is not going to be a good week.
That was painful.
At least I got enjoyment out of it.
What do you call that when you're like, you get like, I don't know.
Did that one hurt?
Contact pain. Like,
did that one hurt?
Oh, what was that? You know what's bad? I can see her in the concept art, and it's definitely
but seeing her doesn't help.
I know, but like I know what she looks like, and I just can't even think of like what a name was.
Sorry,
I'm gonna say Rita.
Rita?
Yeah, but I don't know her last name. Rita or Anita? Really?
So those are your final answers, Rita or Alice paints a lot?
Yep, we're doing really well this week.
All right.
He did say we were going down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Jungle Cruise boat.
Yes.
Ah!
Yes.
Okay, well, let's get out of the line for Jungle Cruise, and we're going to pop over to DCA, and we're going to check out Stanley's Oasis, home of the original Radiator Springs.
Oh, it's going to be even worse.
And it's called one of the wonders of the world. What number wonder is it?
The 12th wonder of the world.
13th.
Oh.
13 and 12? Are those your final answers?
Yeah.
And finishing up with the regular round questions, every car in Radiator Springs Racers has a license plate. In the space where you'd normally see a state name, does it say instead?
Oh, we remembered this.
Remember
what it was, though.
You saw me taking a picture of it, and you made a point to remember it.
They were cute little things, like...
They were cute sayings for the license plate, but he's asking what the states were. Oh. So it'd be, like, the main thing at the top.
Were they all the same? I didn't think
every car that I checked.
Like,
I was looking close. I made sure to look at
the plate numbers.
The plate numbers
were
all different.
Yeah.
The actual plate numbers all changed. They were funny things. Roll, you know, drive fast or whatever. You know, DRV, FST.
Mm-hmm.
But the state name was the same on every car I checked.
Everybody's going to make fun of me for this one. But the only thing I can think of is Eagle State, because I've been watching Desperate Housewives, and they are in the Eagle State, and all their license plates say Eagle State. But that is not this. But that's the only thing I can think of.
You should get, like, some weird award for the most random and bizarre answers ever given during trivia. And that's saying something. We've had some really weird...
I mean, you come up with some weird answers, too.
I know.
Let's see. I feel like it's something to do with...
And it's not something obvious, probably. It's probably not, like, Radiator Springs or Carburetor County.
I need to watch Cars again. I think I've only seen
Ornament
the movie
Valley?
One.
Ornament Valley? I'm going to say Ornament Valley.
Ornament Valley? But it's, like, it's a state, right? You're not going to tell us.
It's not necessarily a state. It's just what does it say in the space where a state's name would normally be.
Ka-chow!
I'll go with you with Ornament Valley, because that sounds good.
So you're both saying Ornament Valley?
Yeah, we're both probably wrong.
And is that your final answers?
It's a good thing we can't get points taken away
from
us. And, like, we owe him points.
That's true.
And for your bonus question for tonight,
let's hope.
We're going to go back to what queue are you in? Remember, with this one, it's your first two clues. If you get it right, then you get the full point. And if it takes you three or four clues, you get half a point. You ready for your clues?
Yes.
All right. So what queue are you in? Clue number one. You can hear ambient noises of animals and insects.
Wait, which park are we in? Or is that part of the thing?
We're in Disneyland.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll give you that.
Ambient noise of animals and insects. Okay.
There's a few options there.
Mm-hmm.
Clue number two?
Clue number two is... The railings are of wood, and the walls are hewn from stone.
The walls are what?
Stone.
Hewn from stone.
That sounds like
Big Thunder.
Hewn,
carved, cut from stone.
Oh. The walls. Could be Rise of the Resistance, too, because you can hear, like...
But are there... I don't think there's wood. I think that's all metal.
That's true.
So I think, like... Because I was thinking Galaxy's Edge at first, too.
How about Winnie the Pooh? Or are we talking about Splash Mountain?
So I was thinking Splash, but I can't remember if you actually have, like, animal and bug noises.
That's true.
And I'm also kind of wondering.
I don't think you have that for Big Thunder.
Animals and bugs?
Mm-mm. Animals and bugs. Wood thing.
And carved out of
walls
stone.
Out of stone, yeah.
Walls carved from stone.
Are we going to take
right?
half
a point? You said walls carved from stone?
Walls are hewn from stone.
Hewn? What does hewn mean?
Carved.
Okay.
Cut.
Walls trying to be carved from stone.
Trying to be fancy. What was the wood thing again? Can you say the wood thing again?
The railings are made of wood.
Railings are made of wood.
I'm really not confident if Splash or Big Thunder have... Like, I really... Now I can't, like... I can't really for sure... I feel like they have bug and animal noises, but I can't remember them... Like,
well, because then I was thinking like Indy, but Indy, the railings are made out of bamboo.
Which is a wood.
That's a wood.
Mm.
But are there bug? There's not animal noises.
Is bamboo a wood?
There is in the outside because you're right next to the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, it's a wood.
And there are parts of that queue that are stone. Oh, yeah, well, the temple is made out of stone.
Yeah, once you get in there, it's carved out of stone.
I'm going to go for a half a point and ask for another clue.
I think I am, too.
So you want clue number three?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Clue number three, a large map causes a switchback in the queue.
A large what?
Map. But see, that could be Rise of the Resistance because there's a giant map thing that you go around.
Well, we,
but there's also a map in Indy, too.
We have...
On the wall, because it shows you the different...
We can still have...
Another clue?
Another clue.
Let's get the other clue.
And your fourth and final clue is there are Rebel pilot uniforms in the lockers.
Okay, yeah, it's Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, Rise of the Resistance.
I do not remember. I really thought that it had metal railings, not wood. That's... But we'll go with it. It's got to be...
Yep.
It's got to be Rise.
So we'll stick with for now.
So you're saying Rise of the Resistance?
Yes.
Final answer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around till after the discussion topic and you can find out.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are going to finally talk about, people asked us to do like a special episode last week, like a breaking news, because right after we posted, of course, Disney announced and started talking about the Disney Genie and Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. So we're here to answer and talk about everything that we know about it. So why don't you get us started?
Yeah, so first we're just going to break down and talk about what each of these things mean, right? Disney's great at one thing, creating new names that are kind of sort of similar to things that we already have, or creating new names to things that we already had. So let's define what the Disney Genie, Genie Plus, and Lightning Lane, what those three things are. So Disney Genie is the new program that will be coming soon to an app, Disney app near you. But basically, it's kind of like a personal planner would be my best way to kind of describe it. You can tell the Genie, this is free. This first level of Disney Genie is totally free. Anybody can use it. Or not use it if you choose not to use it. But it basically, if you need something to help you kind of plan your day, figure out what makes the most sense as far as, okay, I'm interested in these things, it kind of gives you a little bit of a guide and a roadmap to what attractions you should try and hit up, what other, you know, how to kind of navigate the park. I think the Genie makes a lot of sense for like the vacation type park goers, maybe not so much people that know Disney better than they know like their way around, the people that know how to get around Disney better than they know how to even get around their own town, those people probably wouldn't see the same benefit. The one thing that I thought was interesting, and I'm kind of curious how it will play out, is one thing the app does is it of course tells you wait times, but it also tells you if that is a, you know, if that's a low wait time for that attraction, or if that's lower than usual, higher than usual, if that's about average for that attraction. That part intrigues me because basically that was kind of just a gut feeling before, like, no, I feel like that's too long to wait for that attraction. We're going to skip it and come back later. Whereas other people are like, I don't know, that seems like a good time, so I'll get in it. So since everybody will have the same knowledge and Disney's going to tell you, yes, get in the line now, or no, you don't want to get in the line right now, I'm curious what that's going to do to wait times overall. Is this going to kind of more evenly disperse the crowd throughout the park, or will it not make any sort of difference?
Yeah. So this... Okay, so I just want to explain what happened to me today. So I, this whole week, have been focusing on the next things we're going to talk about, which is Genie Plus and Lightning Lane, and I've... All of my focus have been on those two aspects, which will become apparent as we talk about them in a few minutes. Today was the first day that I actually kind of dug into just the basic Genie. Mm-hmm. And I watched Disney. They have on the Disney Parks blog, they post a link to it. It's on their YouTube channel. It was like a 13 or 14 minute video kind of introducing this system to the world. Yeah. There are a lot of angry people in the comments there. If you want to keep your happy Disney-ness, don't go read the comments, because people are very upset at Disney for one reason or another because of this. And I think there are people on both sides that have valid reasons, but we won't get into that right now. But today was the first day that I actually understood what the basic Genie was, mm-hmm. saw their demo of it, and thought, this is actually kind of cool. It's of the three parts, this is the new kind of the newest thing that they hadn't done before.
Biggest change.
Yeah. So cool things they'll show you, like you were saying, Teresa. You can even see like trends in lines for the park. So you can tap on an attraction, you can tap on like upcoming wait times, and they'll show you like during an average day. Google does this. If you search for like a business and click on them, it'll say like, you know, if it's a restaurant, it'll be like, oh, lunchtime it gets busy, and you'll see like a little chart. It does the same thing with attraction queues. So it's like, oh, in the morning there's no line for this. In the afternoon around this time it usually gets busy. Then this time it gets slow. So you could kind of try to plan. The other thing that Disney does is that I actually liked, because I finally got to see what it's going to look like, and that made a big difference to me, was you can go in and you tell the app, I'm interested in Star Wars. Yep. I'm interested in princesses. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in fireworks, for instance, was some of their options. So you check these things and hit like next or whatever, and the app will try to take into account all the things you're interested in and kind of plan a perfect day catered to you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't like princesses that much. Like, I don't need to go see Anna and Elsa and all that stuff. But somebody else might. And so their day looks different than my day because maybe I'm a Star Wars fan. So they'll cater a lot of those things. And one of the things I was very excited about in their demo of this was the way that I like to do the park, the genie kind of does it as well. It's like, well, we put this on your plan because it's near this other thing that we have for you that maybe is more popular, that we're giving you like a return time for, etc.
Though I do think this is a, like I said, really great option, especially I'm thinking about a trip that I took a few years ago with my family to Walt Disney World. And Walt Disney World is, I mean, that's the best way I can like have like understand what it's like to not frequent a Disney park.
Yeah.
For me, Disneyland is very easy. It's calming. It's relaxing to me to go to a Disney park. I get that 100% is not the case for everyone, right? If it's your first time with a family, or if it's your first time in years and years and years, there's a lot of stuff that kind of comes with being a Disney park goer. There's all sorts of different things you have to know, like what's lingo. There's all this
boarding
different
groups.
Lingo. What's a boarding group? What's a this? What's a that? It's very, I can see how that'd be incredibly overwhelming. So I do like that the genie is a really nice option, free option, for those folks that need a little help and need a little guidance, need kind of a little roadmap, so that they can have a more stress-free park experience. And they're not just standing in the middle of wherever going, ah, help. The other cool thing too, they talked about this in the video, is you have like a virtual assistant. You can ask the genie things like, hey, genie, what time's the 2 o'clock parade? Glad you asked, Mr. and Mrs. Guest. The 2 o'clock parade is at 2 o'clock. But, you know, I think
better
that's
than
cool,
that, hopefully.
Then you don't, well, that's kind of a joke, because a lot of people will come up to cast members and say, hey, what time's the whatever time parade? And they're like, well, it's at.
Yeah.
What time's the 2 o'clock parade? Well, it's at 2 o'clock. But I think that'll be nice for cast members too, because people in custodial, people in the shops won't have to constantly be like a question answering machine for the guests. Guests can just go to their phone and get their questions asked as they come up, and they're not going to have to be wasting precious Disney time looking to find a cast member to ask those questions.
So I have a question for you. So right now we talked about, you know, looking at like in an average day, you know, like right in the morning, there's no line for Pirates of the Caribbean. But like later on, there's like a 40-minute wait or whatever. Mm-hmm. As they do this and they start kind of nudging people to the areas that are lulls, do we end up getting to a point where the basic genie with that guessing of future things, where it's all kind of leveled, where it's like it doesn't matter when you go, it's always a 30-minute wait, because the times when it used to be a dip, we've pushed people, and the times that it used to be high, we've kind of pushed people other places.
Yeah, I was kind of talking about that in the beginning when it was saying, oh, it's low for this time. I do wonder how much that's going to possibly level
wait times
out.
One of these features is being able to like look ahead and plan that, but if everything ends up being kind of equal, then it seems like then you're in a whole different problem now.
The other issue, too, is that would be if everybody in the park is using the genie.
That is true.
I don't think everybody in the park is going to be using the genie for their entire trip. But I do think it's a possibility that wait times might seem to level out a little bit more.
Yeah. So the next part of this is the Genie Plus. And in the video and in the D23 article we have linked in our show notes as well, basically, they say the easiest way to think about this, and since you're all Disneyland people, is MaxPass. Basically, mm-hmm. you pay a daily fee, and you basically can go and pick fast passes from your phone. You don't have to go to a kiosk or anything, and you can pick those things out. Now, it is different than MaxPass because of limits and stuff like that on how many you can have at a time and everything. But the basic gist, and they've said this on the video and everything, they really pointed this out and they really drove it home, was if you know MaxPass at Disneyland, that's it. It's just like mm-hmm. that. And we're bringing this to Disney World because Disney World used to just have FastPass Plus that was not a paid option.
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit is going to Walt Disney World with Genie Plus, because Walt Disney World and trying to get your fast passes, you had to get them, almost a year in advance, it felt like. You had to pick some fast passes. So that's pre-planning to, like, a whole different level. So I can see some benefits for Walt Disney World with this. However, for Disneyland, I'm on the fence with this one. So it is Disney Plus or Disney Plus. That's the other problem I keep having, too. I keep saying Disney Plus instead of Genie Plus. Anyways, Genie Plus is right now $20 per day per ticket.
At Disneyland.
It doesn't matter if you have a magic key or if you're just a day guest or if you have a multi-day ticket, $20 per day per person. So depending on how you're doing your trip, especially like for key pass holders, that can add up really, really quickly. If you're only doing, it's kind of, what's that worth? You know, is that worth it to you? Is that not worth it to you? The nice thing, I don't know if you mentioned this, not only does it get you access to rides a little quicker, you also get photo pass included with Disneyland, which to me, that's like the bigger benefit because I'm all about the photo pass.
And again, it's exactly like MaxPass because mm-hmm. in MaxPass, photo pass came with it. There was some comments that it'd be nice if you could decouple the two to add it to different things like your magic key and stuff. And they do offer something, but it's the same price.
It's still $20 per day. Down the line, I don't think right away we'll see this, but maybe down the line, depending on what Disney's overall plan is with this, we may see a flat rate that you can add to, say, your key holder or your magic key. But I don't know if that's going to happen and how soon that will happen. So I'm not going to hold my breath for that one because it might be a little bit of a wait and it might be something that never comes. Because the one thing that I'm curious as to what's all going on, right? Everyone's so quick to say, oh, this is just Disney trying to just make more money and squeeze more money out of the guests, which that may be the case. But I find it interesting because with MaxPass, for those of you that had it and experienced how that went, you could have, and just even regular fast passes, you could have a fast pass and then 2 hours later you could get another fast pass even if you hadn't used that first one yet. So say the time window hadn't come up yet, you just had to wait 2 hours and then you could get your second pass. With Genie Plus, you can only hold one pass at a time. I think they're calling it like lightning lane passes now, but you could only hold one of these fast passes is what I'm going to call them, at a time. So not only do you have to pay to be in a fast pass lane, you can only have one at a time. So that fast pass lane / lightning lane, whatever we're calling it now, is not going to get as much use as it did before, which is a good thing for the standby line. So I'm looking at that positive because I do think overall it's going to help with wait times because there's just not going to be as many disruptions and pauses to the standby line because you're just not pumping as many bodies through that fast pass queue.
So in a weird way, Disney is charging more for a service because you get less from it.
Exactly. Yep.
But people don't realize they're charging more because the price is the same. Mm-hmm. They've just adjusted the thing, which I also think is how the Magic Key program is going to work, because they'll sell however many of those they want. And then it'll be, can you get a reservation on the day? Mm-hmm. So really, you're spending more in that program as well to potentially get less depending on what days and stuff you want to go.
Well, but then the other thing, too, is if the standby line is not getting paused and stopped as often, the standby line is going to move better, move quicker. So then, which then, to me, is less reason to want a fast pass.
Sure.
So it's just interesting. I think the Genie is going to change change attraction queues? It's going to change your wait times, just length of time. Are they going to even out? It's also, I feel like it's going to do some good things for the standby line. But that brings me back to whether or not I think that they're going to have a flat rate for the key holders or not.
Yeah.
Because if Disney is trying to make it less desirable to be in the fast pass lane and they're trying to not have as many people over there, then I could see them not wanting to have a reasonable flat rate for key holders. Perhaps they come out with a flat rate, but it's like half the cost of your ticket or like something crazy. Cause I want to say Max Pass, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Max Pass was like $100 to add
when it
on
opened,
to your AP.
And then I think it was $125.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so it wasn't that bad. Like when you thought of it for an entire year, it really wasn't, especially PhotoPass.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I'm curious to see what happens there. I really am.
Yeah, it's one of those things with all of these things, because they've decoupled them from each other. They can, in the future, if not enough people are paying for it, they want to add it to key pass holder or magic key holders, they can easily and add it as a thing. Or if too many people are using it, they can raise the price on it or not put it in with the pass. It'll be interesting. I think they're going to do a lot of tweaking as things start for both of these programs. And I would guarantee you that over the next year or two, as we continue to report on the changes of these things, there's going to be a ton of changes. Yeah. And I don't think 2 years from now, it'll look anything close to what it is now. I think things will change and things will kind of work themselves out. Now, the other thing that I thought about as you were talking was a lot of times, and it's not just Disney, but people in general come up with these systems and they expect them to work one way, but then people find ways to either game the system, or they find ways that when it tells me to do this, I can, if I do this instead, it ends up being a thing. And then that kind of derails how the system was supposed to work. So I'm interested to see if there's going to be any unintended consequences. And if there are, what are those consequences of we thought we had this all planned out and had all the little loopholes closed up, but guests are smart, right? And people love to play the games and everything. I'm interested to see where the gotchas and oopsies and then the changes to policy and all this stuff go.
The other thing that I was thinking about when I was looking at pictures, MiceChat had a really great article that had tons and tons of photos around a very, very empty park, and it was just great. But the one thing that got me thinking when I was looking at those pictures of the park was we have a lot of stuff installed and invested into Fast Pass, whether it be all of the individual kiosks that are around the resort, all of the different individual signage, and there's even special separate little areas that they've dedicated to the Fast Pass machines and all that stuff. Even if you're looking on wait time boards, it says Fast Pass return times. Yep. There's going to be a ton of work that they're going to have to do in the parks to remove all of those printed FastPass ticket stations, rework what we're going to do with those, that space that those things use, that the ticketing kiosks used to occupy. And then tons and tons of signage is going to have to be redone. Because the one that really got me was, it was Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, because it's like this cool thing out in front, cute little, it just fits in the theme really well. But looking at how it's set up, you can't just, we'll just take the Fast Pass part. You can't just take the Fast Pass part off of this. And this is basically a sign to the entrance of this attraction. It's right in front. So I'm like, wow, this is there is so much more to this than just, we're going to push this out on the app and you can pay us money and poof.
Well,
there you go.
Think about this too, though. They just made a ton of signage around the parks for COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that these are more temporary, but still, it's the same kind of thing where there is just a ton of signs everywhere that they've had to make and everything. Oh, yeah, that's huge. Yeah. So I finally pulled up the Roger Rabbit one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of updated signage. I did see also, I think it was on MiceChat, that was talking about how they could remove those kiosks where you would get your physical ticket previously. And that could be stroller parking or more seating and stuff. So that's nice.
Yeah. They could definitely use that space for sure. Or extending the queue maybe out into that area or something. I'm thinking about where the Haunted Mansion ones are.
Yeah.
That could be extended queue.
So there's one other part of the GD Plus that we didn't talk about, and we don't know that much about, really, is the audio experiences. So you know a little bit about that. So what are the audio experiences?
How Dang it, that's on the plus. I thought that was on the regular Genie. Well, that's disappointing. But anyways, I'll try not to sound too sad when I'm talking about this, because this I was really excited about. So this would be something that I could see you and I paying for just to do one day. But the audio experiences, they kind of briefly mentioned in the video tag I was talking about earlier. So if you go to the Disney Parks blog, they have two videos. One is a short video. It kind of feels like a commercial. The other one is actually with someone from the team that goes kind of way more in depth, shows a demo of how the app works. Anyways, but he talks about the audio experiences, and it sounded like that there's going to be different points around the parks that you can stop and have these different audio experiences. And the words that this person from Disney used were that they would be like behind the attraction type.
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff. So it sounds to me kind of, so it gives me the feel of like, you know how you could do an audio tour of certain things and you kind of like go stand in front of something and you listen to it. It sounds like it's almost like an audio, a version of an audio tour of the park. They didn't say how many of these like points there will be. But that's another cool thing, because that's something that they could be changing so that it's something that's fresh. And so something that maybe if you did it once, you don't feel like you don't have to do it again, because been there, done that, learned it. I'm really excited about that.
The demo that they showed in that video, if for those of you who have ever used Instagram and you've used the stories feature on Instagram, the demo that they showed in this video kind of looked like that, where you get to the attraction, you select, you know, the audio experience, and then they'd have maybe a picture or a video or something, but they'd have different like timed bars at the top for when things were going to change. It looked very Instagram-y to me. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is not what I thought at all. I thought literally it'd be like an audio, just audio, like playing in your ear about like, this attraction opened in this year and blah, blah, you know, that kind of thing. So this is a very exciting aspect of this for big Disney fans. This is amazing.
I think it's really cool, though, just for the normal park guests, too, because this could be something maybe that
they
have.
It's a gateway drug.
No, but just people are really interested in the history of Disneyland and Disney, I think, because it's just really, it's very unique and it's very magical. So it's one of those things that once you kind of experience it, you're just like, wow, you know. So I could see standing in a queue, like maybe you can stand and do this in a queue while you're waiting. That'd be a great thing to kind of help pass the time.
Yeah.
And you can like learn about the attraction that you're about to go on if you choose, or, you know, that sort of thing. I do think that the like vacation type guest, if they have time, because I feel like right they're in a Disney park and it's not, it's like big thing for them. They've got a lot to do. They're probably feeling overwhelmed. So maybe this would just be like, oh my gosh, it's just one more thing. I can't do it. But I could see people finding, you know, the non-Uber super crazy fans like us. I could see normal park goers.
I feel like some people, like you're saying, where maybe, like my mom, maybe we go sit in a line and she's like, well, I don't want to go on Tower or Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, but there I'll listen to some info about it while I'm sitting here waiting for you guys to get off the attraction. So we move on now. Teresa, tell us about the most controversial part of this whole situation, the lightning lane.
So the lightning lane, how do I want to say this first? Lightning lane is what we are now calling Fast Pass. Fast Pass return lines are now going to be called the lightning lane. Your individual passes are going to be called lightning passes. We are rebranding Fast Pass. Fast Pass is dead, no longer. We forget that it was even here. So the lightning lane with your Genie Plus, $20 a day, you do get access to Lightning Lane passes. But in addition to that, there are going to be some attractions, the bigger ones. We're thinking things like Rise of the Resistance. They did say Radiator Springs Racers. The bigger, like, everybody wants to get on these. They always have crazy wait times. Those attractions are going to not be part of the normal Genie Plus. They're going to be kind of like a pay per ride thing. So if you want a lightning pass to Radiator Springs, for example, you're going to have to pay, say, $10 to get that pass. And if you want to go in that line again, it's not like you wait an hour like you would, or it's not like you can just get another pass like you could with Genie, the Genie Plus, because you've used your pass. No, you have to pay $10 again to get into that lane. My guesstimate is that we're going to see these prices could be a little high. I do think we can see things like Rise of the Resistance be as high as $15 to $20. But I also think that Disney has the ability to kind of play with these prices throughout the day, too. So you might be getting push notifications saying, hey, go ride Rise of the Resistance. It's 50% off now. So you're only going to pay $10 instead of $20 or, you know, whatever. Or if the demand's too high for it, they could hike those prices up, too. I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't know how I feel about it either. I will say that one of the things that they make a big point of is these lightning lanes are not going to be the only way to experience an attraction.
Yes.
So there will still be standby lanes.
Yep.
Lines. So don't feel like, oh gosh, if I ever want to ride Rise of the Resistance again, I have to have a bunch of money to go do it. Because that is not the case. They in the video and in all of their material that they've put out about this program so far, they have said there will always be a traditional standby mm-hmm. queue for attractions. Mm-hmm. Do not worry about that. If you only want to buy a day ticket to come into the park, you will always be able to wait in a line and not pay anything extra to experience their attractions.
Yep.
With the exception of things like boarding groups, which will also still be available, virtual queues that also don't cost anything.
I think that's really important that you point that out, because there's been a lot of stuff going around saying you're going to have to pay to experience, you know, like to experience these things, you will have to pay. That is 100% not the case. You will still be able to stand in the standby lines for no extra costs.
Yeah, I think Disney really needs to make sure they hit that home, because I feel like to get people to click on their articles, I feel like this week we've seen a lot of like clickbaity things.
Yeah.
Because they've sort of stretched the truth. Because I saw the first day that this was announced, I saw two or three headlines that were like, you're going to have to pay to ride Rise of the Resistance. And I'm like, what? And then you go and you read, if you don't want to get a boarding pass or whatever,
or
you don't want to stand
in
a thing,
wait in the regular
and you could
line.
Pay to like zip past or whatever, fine, whatever. I do like the fact that if I don't want to, I don't have to spend any extra money. I can use the planning thing. I can try to do like we did when we went the last time where everything was standby. We could do a day like that. But if there are people who maybe they're on like a business trip, let's say, and they're only there one day, but they want to hit whatever they want to hit, maybe it's worth those people to like, I only have so much time and it's worth more to me to see it than the $20 or whatever it's going to cost.
Well, the other thought process too is you could cram more into one day than say you could cram 2 days worth of attractions into one day if you're
sure.
willing to pay that extra, which for some people might make sense because, hey, you know what? The $20 Genie Plus add-on for the day plus however much I'm going to pay for my lightning lane extras, that total could be less than what a 2-day ticket would be. So I'm just going to buy a 1-day ticket, add these extra things on, and overall I'm still saving money. You know, you could look at it that way. So the big thing with this, I know a lot of people are upset about it. I'll be honest, Tag and I are both like, what? Like, not sure how we feel about this, and not sure if it's something we're going to need. But I could see how this might make sense for some people. And I'm all about options. Options are great as long as I'm not forced into said option mm-hmm. and I don't want it.
I think overall, I think the standard Genie, like the day planning stuff, could be really interesting. I will withhold judgment until I see how it works in practice, because I could come up with some cool demo that looks like it'll make all my dreams come true. You know, Genie, making your wishes come true. But if in reality it doesn't really give me something that like makes sense or works to how I want to experience the park, then it's not going to be a tool. You know, it's not the right tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it could be really cool. One of the things like I talked about earlier is, you know, you can select. We talked about things like, you know, if you like princesses or if you like thrill room, whatever, you can select types of attractions you want, and then it won't even give you other stuff. So if you select like thrill rides, it won't give you like the teacups. Let's say it'll give you, it'll give you like Radiator Springs Racers or Guardians of the Galaxy or those type of mm-hmm. things, and won't give you those, you know, the dark rides, let's say, for example. So for families, I think that's really going to be cool, because you could just say, give me like easy attractions or like things that are family friendly.
Yep.
And then it'll just give you all that stuff. And so you don't have to put as much planning as, if you just kind of want to like let the Disney Genie winds take you where they will, if you will. The Genie Plus, it's like Max Pass, like we said.
I guess I'm okay with that because it does seem like less people will be able to use it. The Lightning Lane, I'm really interested to see how many people will utilize it and what the pricing will be because they haven't announced pricing. Mm-mm. They haven't even announced what attractions will be on that Lightning Lane. So that'll be interesting.
I think that the Genie, again, just kind of to summarize, I do think the Genie, the base Genie, will be a really great resource for people that don't do Disney frequently and people that may be a little like feeling overwhelmed and stressed about it. I think it's going to be a really helpful tool for those people. Because think about it, there's people that visit parks that don't even know what attractions there are. The last time we were, when we were there in July, actually, there was a couple that was standing behind us while we were waiting to get into Disneyland. And there they were with their park and they're like, oh, look at this, the park map. And they're getting all excited, like, oh, look at this haunted house. And look at that, you know. And to me, I'm like, haunted mansion, you know, but that's me. Like, I'm there frequently. Not everybody is that lucky to be able to visit Disneyland as often as we get to. So you kind of forget that there are people that maybe have never traveled. It's a little more top of mind for me because with planning the wedding, a lot of our guests that are coming out have either not been for years and years and years, or they haven't been at all. So they're getting really, you know, having questions about things like, oh gosh, what hotel? Because there's, you know, a bazillion. So we haven't even gotten inside the park and they're already like, there's so many choices, you know. Yep. So it's a lot. It's very overwhelming. So I do think that this could be a really wonderful tool for those people. Overall, though, me, I'm curious to see what this does to our standby lines and what it does for wait times overall, because I feel like they're putting more information out there for what wait times could or couldn't be, and if this is a good time to go in the line or not good time to go in the line. So does that just kind of, like you were saying, level out the waits over time because everybody knows? Or, well, and the other big thing too is I really think that that Lightning Lane, aka the old Fast Pass lanes, not going to be getting as used as much just because not every single person in the park has access to get those tickets, and the people that do have access have less access to those tickets than prior. So that lane's not going to be getting used as much, which is a good thing for the standby queue because then we get to move through our queues a little bit quicker.
I think as we've talked through this for me tonight, like we talked through the Magic Key program, I think between the two programs, I actually think I'm more excited for this one because of the potential of leveling out wait times and doing the thing that I was telling you for weeks. And I've had Kate in our community manager, Kate, and you making fun of me for like, don't you want FastPass? So this is kind of what we wanted, which is for those big attractions that the wait times are too long, you can get a FastPass for those. Mm-hmm. So in that one day, in our example, Disneyland, right? We only had Space Mountain that was really a long line. Yep. And California Adventure, we only had Radiator Springs and Grizzly River Run. So I could have used the Genie Plus to get on Grizzly River Run, and then I could have paid a little extra or whatever and done Radiator Springs. But then I wouldn't have to do that. I could just do the rest of the park however I wanted. And the same thing at Disneyland. I could use the Genie Plus to get on Space Mountain and not have to wait, and then just enjoy the rest of my day being a normal person and not worrying about, oh gosh, I have to go in and get the next Fast Pass or whatever. So I think I'm excited for Genie. I think that there was a lot of people that are spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt and took the scariest parts and really amplified them, but didn't really dig in. And this is proof because today, like, I didn't know anything about the basic Genie program until today, really. And I'm like, oh, this is actually really nice and could work out for a lot of people. Yeah. And then again, listening to your thoughts on it and thoughts about like lines and stuff, and you've been reading a little bit more about this week than I have, like, made me feel really good about it and less like afraid of it. And I think anybody listening should also not be as afraid of it and should give it a chance. And maybe it'll turn into some terrible thing that they get rid of. Maybe it'll be something great that they keep improving upon and becomes like, how did we ever live without this? Like FastPass was for a long time.
Mm-hmm. The other really important thing too that I just want to touch on real quick before we wrap up is I do like that the Genie Plus and the Lightning Lanes are options because we were talking about this and you've talked about this on the stream. So I feel like I'm kind of stealing your thunder. But, you know, you got to remember that the fan level we are not the average guest.
That's true.
And we also do not have kids. We don't have big, large families that we're having to try and plan financially and logistically for during these trips. So adding on, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, right? $20 a day. But if you have a family of, say, four, $20 a day per person per ticket, and you have a 4-day, we'll say, trip, that's a lot.
Yep.
Like, that adds up very, very quickly. So it is something that, you know, it does kind of feel like Disney is, quote unquote, pricing people out and whatever. But the thing that I just have to keep reminding myself is it's only an option. You don't have to do it. They could have just raised the entrance fee and then that really, you know, raised the ticket price more. And that really would be pricing people out. But you still have the option and you don't have to use these. I do have to also like point out that other places, like Universal, have had this kind of premium fast passy
VIP
kind of,
lanes. Yeah.
Yeah. And their program is way more expensive than what the Genie Plus and possibly what the Lightning, I guess we don't know for sure, but for sure it's much, the Universal version of this is way more expensive than
the Universal is like
Plus.
Double your ticket price and you only get to go on everything like once.
And their tickets are more, I think their tickets are higher than Disneyland's tickets are now.
Depending on the day
close,
or whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, so, because I was worried, I feel for families. Like I said, I don't have a family. It's just Vern and I that go. So it's just two of us that have to make this decision. But I can see how making this decision to do this as your family is getting bigger, or depending on what you're, you know, what you're comfortable doing financially, this could seem like a real burden. So I'm very glad that it's just an option. It's just an enhancement if you want it. And it's not going to like totally ruin your day if you don't have these upgrades.
Yeah, absolutely. So let us know what you guys think. You can send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. You can comment on social media and stuff like that. Just let us know, do you like this program? Are you optimistic for it? Are you pessimistic for it? Is there something that you wish they would have done differently with it? I think we've covered like almost every aspect of it. So hopefully you guys can at least go in and be informed. And hopefully the next trip, whenever this launches, they said fall, which fall is a very long time.
I
think that we just need to see like when it launches. And hopefully it'll go smooth. And I really do hope that it does become some form of an add-on for the Magic Key program, because I could see that it could be a little pricey, too, if you... But those people can only do it sometimes,
you
then.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to figure. What's Disney's reasoning behind changing the Fast Passes? Because I don't feel like it's just... Oh, hey, why are we giving this away for free? We could be charging for it, because they kind of did that with Max Pass. So... The fact that you're not able to get as many of the passes, they've limited how many, you know, it seems like they're trying to limit the amount of people in the in that line, whether or not that's really it or not. And it's just maybe me having super wishful thinking, that could be. So that's why if they're trying to limit the people, that's why I'm not, I do think they'll eventually have some sort of add-on for key holders. Part of me really hopes maybe it's just a key holder specific thing, is that you could have an add-on for PhotoPass or for Genie Plus.
Oh,
you
sure.
Wouldn't have to do both of them, because I could see a lot of pass holders or key holders, excuse me, going the photo route, especially because that's just, I mean,
you may not need to skip the lines if the lines kind of even out and the Genie really helps.
Well, and,
but photos.
Well, and if you're a pass holder, you're going frequently, so you just. Oh, there's a crazy, terrible wait for Guardians of the Galaxy. I'll do that next week.
Yeah.
You can come back.
That's true.
So, but photos, I mean, come on. PhotoPass photos are just magical. I'm glad that our photos are not nearly as expensive as Walt Disney World, though. We are lucky with that regard.
So here's the question. If when we go at the end of September, this becomes, I don't think it will by then, but if it does, are we going to get a day of this?
I don't know. I think there's two unknown.
You know what I think we should do if it is out by then, which I don't think it will be? I think one of the days that's not our party day.
Yeah, we could maybe
do the regular Genie and just see, like, let it try to, like, decide our day. And then one of the days, get the Genie Plus and see if it makes a big difference for us.
With getting passes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really will, because I remember my big, like, wow, this is amazing with Max Pass was just the ability to make the reservations on my phone. It wasn't actually that, like... the Fast Pass, just the fact that I didn't have to go run off to the physical kiosk to get the Fast Pass. So the wow factor for me was being able to do it from my phone, and also really was the photos. That was my like real first big thing with photo passes. Sure. And understanding, wow, now I understand why like people get these and why. Yeah.
You know, another thing I didn't talk about that I think is important is part of the Genie thing that I saw in their demo was addressed. One of the things that frustrated me on this last trip, which was mobile ordering. So when you put in your preferences for the day, it'll come up and be like, okay, well, you're going to be in this area of the park. Here's where we recommend you can get some food. Place a mobile order for that time frame now, so then it'll be ready when you're there. I'm like, this would have been so much better.
It would have been so helpful.
Yes, because I was so frustrated by the fact that mobile ordering, what made me think of that was one other thing I wish they would do with either Genie Plus or Lightning Lane or whatever. I wish they'd allow you, instead of like, I want to pick a Fast Pass for it. And Fast Pass Plus did this, and maybe Max Pass did. Did Max Pass allow you to pick a time?
I don't remember if it did.
Fast Pass Plus allowed you in Disney World to pick a time of when you wanted to come back. So it wasn't like the traditional kiosks where you would stick your ticket in and it'd be like, the return time is this time.
But wasn't that because you... Oh, it did, Kate?
It did let you choose, huh, Kate? You say yes. Specific. Oops, several people are typing. Oh, my goodness. A return window. Allowed you to pick a return window. Okay.
Deanne, I'm glad I'm not the only one that remembered that. But, Kate, you 100% used it way more often than I did. Okay. So it did.
Yeah, because that was one thing that also frustrated me on this trip was just being dictated, like, with the Rise of Resistance thing. It was like, you have to come back at this time, period. So, yeah, from available times. So I like the idea of, like, maybe I want to look now, but I'm planning for this evening. I'd like to, like, pick it then instead of, like, oh, the first available one is at noon. I'm like, well, I don't want it at noon. I want it, like, later. So all of those things, I think, would make it a much better guest experience, which if you read what Disney says, their whole plan behind this is what they say is to make a better guest experience. And after talking through it, I think it might end up being a better guest experience. And I know we'll have to wait and see to be sure, but I'm optimistic.
Me too.
So we do have one piece of feedback that I wanted to share quickly. Stephen S. sent in a question that he wanted to have us hear on the show, or he wanted to hear the answer to on the show. What was your favorite ride experience at Disneyland? It doesn't necessarily need to involve your favorite ride. His example was on Big Thunder. On Halloween 2018 during the Halloween party, my wife was tired and left a little early, leaving my daughter and I running around the park like crazy. As part of the decorations, the old mine train tunnel across from Big Thunder had two glowing eyes, a growling sound, and periodic smoke effects throughout the evening. As the night wore on, the smoke built up and drifted over to the outdoor scenes of Big Thunder. Several things happened that night that made it our best ride experience ever. First, the fog during the outside portions of the ride. Second, when we rode, the Halloween fireworks were going off, making the outdoor scenes really fun. Fog and fireworks after the indoor scenes were amazing. And finally, after our first round, there was no one waiting in line. Guess everyone was looking up the fireworks, so we were able to go around again with all the fog and fireworks. My daughter and I will never forget that experience. Want to hear ours. Do you have a favorite ride experience at Disneyland?
Don't hit me.
Oh, no.
The Haunted Mansion, getting to go through the servants' quarters.
Why would I hit you? That's a cool one.
I just think that was just so completely unexpected, and that's why it was so amazing. However, I am very jealous about this whole, like, fog and fireworks on Big Thunder Mountain thing, because that sounds pretty darn magical too. But yeah, and it was also seen, that was the first time we saw the mansion after the refresh.
That's true.
So everything just looked beautiful. So that's honestly, that's my favorite ride experience. That, like, that's the first one that comes to mind right now. Second, the canoes, just because it was so hilarious and so fun.
Yeah,
you're welcome, Jill.
Yeah. Well, that was your first time on the canoes, right?
That was my first time on the canoes, and I had way more fun on the canoes, not just because of Jill's little, like, tumble, but just, it was such a fun experience. It was like the B team of Jungle Cruise skippers are your, like, canoe guides. Sure. They were so fun, so nice.
Would you say that the canoes are underrated?
I think the canoes are underrated, yeah.
So
I
anybody
think people,
listening, go do the canoes.
I think people assume that the canoes are just going to be hot and miserable, and it's
work,
and I don't want to get all sweaty. And
it wasn't.
It was very
pleasant.
Actually,
it's really nice on the river, because you get, like, a nice breeze, and you're moving. There's shade even during parts of it.
But yeah, no, hands down, my Haunted Mansion servants' quarters entrance, that was just, there were so many things about that, because, right? the like pure Disney magic of getting told to go in the servants' quarter and then seeing the beautifully refreshed mansion.
I think the best part was you didn't realize till like halfway there that was happening. Like it didn't trigger right away.
No, I was just like, okay, go left. What? Did they say knock on the door? Yeah,
so I will say two things.
I don't think, did it? Okay. Back to Haunted Mansion. Did it register for you right away what was happening? Or was I the only one that was like, wait?
No, I think I triggered about the same time you did because I didn't hear what they had said.
Yeah, because they said go left and we just went.
But you said you heard knock on the door and I really didn't. And I thought we were just going like, I thought that they'd split the queue for some reason.
I thought that they
but then as we were going down, I was like, and it hit. I think I got it like a second before you did because I started recording you and then your excitement hit. So it was a good timing. I'm glad I started recording you. The two that come to mind for me, they're the one that immediately comes to mind because I always think about this and I don't know why because there wasn't anything that was like super, super, not like that, right? Was we were there for New Year's one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was raining and we went on, California Screamin'.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just something about riding that in the rain and feeling like the pelting rain on your face. And it was so fun. And of course the parks, when it rains, like everybody like empties out and it was just such a cool experience. And it wasn't cold, unlike winters here in Wisconsin. And I just, for some reason, I always think of that when I'm in the park. So I think that has to be one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is something that, you know, only weird people like me and you would get excited about was when I got evacuated off of the Matterhorn and got to go down the scariest elevator I've ever been on. But that was also very cool. And I wish that would happen again. But I think those two from just the top of my mind without having to think about it too much. But I'll tell you, Stephen, you've got a really good
one.
Great question. So I hope that we were able to answer that for you.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DO Weekly.
Please tell the audience what the answers were, I suppose.
Well, okay, this was a rough night for you. Luckily for you, I'm running out of my observations from the park questions, so I won't be able to do this to you too much longer. So let's just go right into it. Question number one. While standing in the queue for Jungle Cruise, you can hear a radio station playing 1940s jazz tunes. What are the call letters of that radio station? You said KBBL and KJUN. You had the first letter right. We were looking for KNGO.
KNGO. Ooh. What is that? Does that stand for something?
Congo.
Oh.
That's named after
that,
one
or...
of the first boats, the Congo Queen.
Ah, okay.
That's fun.
Your second regular round question. Still in the queue for Jungle Cruise, you can see paintings on the wall contributed by a new character in the Jungle Cruise. What is this character's name? Teresa, you were on the right track. You knew that it was one of the new people in the climbing the pole to get away from the rhino scene. We were looking for the name of Rosa Soto Dominguez.
Rosa.
You were close, though, because you said Rita.
You said Rita, and Tag, it was not Alice Paints-a-Lot.
I had the first
poor
and
Alice
last
Paints-a-Lot.
Letter of the name correct.
Poor Alice Paints-a-Lot.
Good effort, though. Jumping across the parks, going over to DCA, we find ourselves at Stanley's Oasis, home of the original Radiator Springs, and it's called one of the wonders of the world. What number wonder is it? You had guesses of 13 and 12. Well, as you're standing in the queue for Radiator Springs racers, you can see the original springs, and it is called the 8 3/4 wonder of the world.
Ethan in our chat got closest with 8.
No, the 8th wonder of the world is the backside of water.
Yes, the 8th wonder.
8 3/4.
And three
so
quarters.
8 3/4 would be water just bubbling up out of the ground.
Gotcha.
That's hilarious.
And your fourth and final question of the regular round questions. Every car in Radiator Springs Racers has a license plate. In the space where you'd normally see a state name, what does it say instead? You were on the right-ish track with the Ornament Valley, but what I was looking for was Rolling Stop.
Was what?
Roland Stop, yes! I remember that now, yes.
Yes.
Dang it.
Roland Stop. And your bonus question. What queue are you in? You can hear ambient noise of animals and insects. The railings are made of wood and the walls are hewn from stone. A large map causes a switchback in the queue, and there are Rebel pilot uniforms in the lockers. You got half a point when you figured it out on the fourth hint with Rise of the Resistance.
Well, at least we got one.
Half. One half.
Half.
The two of you combined. You got a
point. There you go. Yeah, we'll just combine our halves for a full point.
Oh, man.
Ooh, that was bad.
We need to have guests on for the
that
trivia
was really
some more.
Bad.
That was a bad one. You said we were going down, and we went down hard.
Mm.
I can't take it too easy on you too often, right?
When
do you take it easy on us?
Okay, well, listeners, do you think that they did a good job? Do you think you did better at home? Do you think you've got the right questions to really stump them hard next time? If you'd like to contribute some questions of your own, feel free to send those to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.